Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American on Sunday, December 4th. UTPB Vocalist Fundraising for Convention Appearance by Ruth Campbell. University of Texas Permian Basin vocal students will be caroling by request throughout the community this Christmas season to raise funds for their trip to the National American Choir Directors Convention in Cincinnati in February. Jeffrey Howell and Rachel Harper are two of the vocalists. Harper has caroled for church and with family, and both have been singing for a long time. Howard caroled with UTPB the year before COVID hit. I enjoyed it. I was only able to do a couple of gigs last time, but it was a fun experience. I got to know some of my choir members more, and it helped me musically, kind of getting more part independence, House said. He explained the part independence is holding your own with the group of singers, not just a choir. This is Harper's first time in the choir, and she's very excited about venturing out to carol. I love just practicing in the Mason, the large classroom, rehearsal space. It's so fun. I love being able, especially when we mix it, kind of like when Jeffrey was saying, it kind of helps you be able to hear more and train your ears to be able to read music and not get distracted by other people's parts, Harper said. She added that everyone is so professional and talented, which is a little intimidating. At the same time, they're warm, welcoming, and willing to help. I think it's a great learning experience. I'm excited to see the difference, like the diversity of the Christmas parties and events that we're going to get to go to, and see how the audiences are different, and also challenge us to interact with people better, she said. Frank Eichenser, professor, Department of Music chair, said it's fun to see people's faces light up when they hear their favorite carols. I think caroling is just an iconic part of the Christmas experience. So when you can come out and sing that favorite song, it brings back so many memories for people. Kind of makes the holiday season, Eichenser said. Eichenser noted that because UTPB is an educational organization, they're always going to have people that are at various stages in their journey. One of the things that we worked really hard at is trying to make sure that experience or that growing is never perceived as, oh, I shouldn't be here. So we work very hard to partner some of our younger singers with our more experienced folks and have a very established musical leadership. We have students like Jeffrey, who has been with us for some time, who takes an active role in leading the tenor sectional, Eichenser said. When we break out, we take an active role in placing in a mentor relationship with some of our younger singers so that they don't feel overwhelmed. They don't feel like I shouldn't be here because we're all in the beginners at one point, Eichenser said. He added that the choir at UTPB are some of the best in the country. We're raising money because we've been invited through the competition auditorium to be one of the 9 choirs to appear at the American Choir Directors Association Natural Convention, Eichenser said. He added that they will be one of the 9 collegiate choirs at the convention, which happens every year. 45 students are planning to go. These folks were selected by virtue of recordings that were submitted, so they're incredible. If we had this standoffish attitude, we don't belong here because we're not perfect, that's no way we have gotten where we are and no way that we could bring out the best in those young singers and get them ready to perform at that level at the very, very short period of time. Just a short few months. We had this kind of you don't belong here attitude. It's just the opposite. It's like the course you belong here. You in your shoes once come along. Let's show how you get there. And then we systematically build those skills into the singers. We've got a great thing here, he added. And Chandra said Howe's plans to go into music education. He's going to be leading a choir. He's going to be leading those rehearsals. He's going to be planning those retreats. He's going to be building those voices. He's going to be picking up and repertoire. So in the role of UTPB, we give him a chance to become the educator that he's going to become. One of the reasons that our choir program is as strong as it is because we have all of these different people at various stages in their journey, either learning the ropes, becoming that, hey, I'm a core, I'm solid, or stepping into the leadership role that they will eventually need to embrace fully when they become a full professional educator. That creates a degree of ownership that just isn't possible if you're just somebody singing an alto part or a tenor part. Everybody has their role and everybody plays it. And that's one of the many reasons that we're able to produce such a high quality product, even though we're a small school out here in the middle of West Texas, he said. In Chanderstad, they are also strong because they work as a team, with students in leadership roles that we can be more peer engagement. Harper added that although everybody has a role, there is not a lot of freedom and creativity. She said Enchander is always open to different ideas and suggestions, though we may tell them that sounds like it won't work. Enchander said there's an extraordinary number of incredible programs in the area that are led by these fantastically committed and talented educators who have invested their lives literally in our young people that produce these really capable, skilled, and committed students that come to UTPB, really work hard at an intense level. This is really rare, what you have out here. We should be all thankful that we have such a strong musical education program across the board, Enchander said. This is not only in Odessa and Midland, but the outlying towns. Harper said another blessing is that because the school is small, the community is tight. We're able to have more personal relationships with the students and teachers, where you won't find as much in the bigger colleges, where their name may be more well-known, but teachers can't tell you who their student is because they don't have a relationship with them. I think it's just so important for you to be able to grow personally, Harper added. The vocal students can take bookings through the first of the year. If someone has a specific party they would like to our group to go to, they can contact choir@utpb.edu or Enchander at 303-875-5499. They are suggesting donations. Recent crashes leave two dead. Two people have died in recent days in separate wrecks on Permian Basin roads. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Louise H. Salinas, 67, of Tahoka, was traveling west on County Road 206 in Gaines County when he failed to yield the right-of-way at a stop sign at State Highway 214 around 2 p.m. Thursday. Salinas' Pontiac Grand Prix was struck by a Jeep Wagoneer driven by a 48-year-old man from Lodi. Salinas, who was wearing a seatbelt, was taken to Seminole Hospital District and pronounced dead, according to DPS. The other man, who was also wearing a seatbelt, was uninjured. On Friday, a 24-year-old man from Denver City was traveling south on U.S. 385 in a Freightliner truck when the truck veered off the road onto the east 5 miles south of Andrews around 7:20 a.m. According to DPS, he oversteered and the truck rolled multiple times. The man's passenger, Fabian Tercino, 19, of Denver City, wasn't wearing a seatbelt and was thrown from the truck, DPS stated. Both men were taken to Permian Regional Medical Center. Tercino was pronounced deceased. The other man, who was wearing a seatbelt, was listed in stable condition with non-threatening injuries, DPS stated. Obituaries. Ruidosa, New Mexico. Bobby Wayne Brunch passed away this life on Saturday, November 26th in Ruidosa, New Mexico, at the age of 56. He was born on June 9, 1966, in El Salido, Arkansas. Bob, by way, was a hard worker, loving husband, father, and brother. He enjoyed helping others in need and protecting his family and friends with a passion. He loved dogs and always had one or more during his life. Bobby was raised in Denver City and Odessa, Texas, and he lived in San Angelo for 16 years. Left to remember him are his wife of 18 years, Lisa Denise Bunch, two sons, Kevin Bunch of Odessa, Joshua Bunch of San Angelo, three stepdaughters, Heather Dodge, Jennifer Kirby, and Taylor Stewart, all of San Angelo, five sisters, Barbara Young of Gardendale, Ann Hartman of Plains, Jeannie Hall of Ruidosa, New Mexico, Lisa Bowen and Teresa Moore Hall, both of Arkansas, the mother and his sons, Melissa Anderson of San Angelo, and many more extended family and friends. Legrone Funeral Chapel in Ruidosa is in charge of arrangements. Bobby did not want to have a funeral, and the family will be honoring that request. A private family celebration of life will be held at a later date. Junction, Texas. Rachel Diane Crow Wellman gained her wings on the morning of December 1st. Rachel was born on September 22, 1961, in Odessa, parents. To her parents, H. Dean Crow, Jr. and Marilyn Yvonne Boer Mortimer. In 1979, she loved of her life, Troy Wellman, swept her off her feet, and they married just 1 year later. They were married for 42 precious and unforgettable years. To know her was to love her. She served everyone selflessly, mirroring our Savior Jesus Christ. Rachel had an infectious laugh, and she was filled with much love and joy, especially for the Lord. With every breath and step that she took, she boldly strove to glorify God in all that she did. Rachel never missed an opportunity to share the gospel and others in hopes of bringing them into the kingdom of God. She was and still is a light to the world and will never fade. Her memory lives on in the hearts of all the people that she touched over the years. Rachel loved fiercely and wholeheartedly. By blood and by choice, she treated everyone like they were family. She had a true servant's heart and would literally give the shirt off of her back if the Holy Spirit made her do so. You would often find her down by the river with her Bible in hand, enjoying her quiet time with the Lord and simply thanking Him for all His blessings. One of her greatest joys in life was her family. With her camera in hand, she never missed an opportunity to support the ones she loved, no matter what that might be. Memories were extremely precious to her, and she loved reminiscing with loved ones. Whether she was helping her husband build their home or playing in the mud with her grandchildren, she did it with joy and her heart with a smile on her face. Through every peak and valley, Rachel would sing the Lord's praises, her hands held high and joy in her heart. Services for Rachel Wellman, followed by a celebration on life, will be held at One Faith Community Church in Junction, Texas, at 2 p.m. on Saturday, December 10th, 2022. Arrangements are by Kimbrell Funeral Home, Junction, Texas. Death Notices, Midland. Deidre Una Socklett, 50, of Midland, died Tuesday, November 15th in Midland. Funeral services will be held at 12 p.m. December 5th. At American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery, Pastor Chris Hager is officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Obits of Midland.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, December 5th. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. The Empty Stocking Fund. As time winds down to help fill the empty stocking fund, will you help the needy in Odessa have a Merry Christmas? The 28th year of the Empty Stocking Fund ends in 12 days with a $100,000 goal to meet the needs in our community. The fund helps families like that of Sam, not his real name. Sam is elderly and partially blind, and he is caring for needy families in Odessa. The Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army, will continue through December 17th. Empty Stocking Funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree for needy seniors and children. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Donate online at tinyurl.com/YUD-3KC3T. The annual Ector County ISD Horticulture Program's Poinsettia Sale will take place today through December 15th at the ECISD Agriculture Farm at 7649 West Dunn Street. The price range will be $5 for small plants and $10 for the larger ones. Visit tinyurl.com/3AUAN6VM. The Odessa Retired Teachers has scheduled a Christmas luncheon at 11:30 a.m. today at the Highland United Methodist Church at 1808 North Dixie Boulevard. There will be a feast, festivities, and Christmas carol singing. Luncheon is $12. To RSVP or for more information, call 432-337-5116. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 FM 1788 in Midland will present Little Feet at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Visit tinyurl.com/MT6346KK.
Hello, this is Christy, and I'm continuing to read the Odessa American for Monday, December the 5th, 2022. What is a Medicare Supplement Guaranteed Issue Plan? By Tony King. Dear Tony, I have decided to retire when I turn 65 in January and will need to enroll in Medicare Parts A and B. My husband, Sam, is 70, and he enrolled in a Medicare Parts A and B when he turned 65 and remained on my company benefits due to having health issues. He has recently began taking heart meds for blood clots, and his cardiologist's office manager expressed concern over my husband's insurance changes from group insurance to Medicare. Next year, he may have to have serious medical procedures. Please explain how we enroll in our Medicare supplement plan. Sheila, Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, Sheila. When you enroll in Medicare Part B the wrong way or too soon, can cause you to not qualify medically for the Medicare supplement you desire. This may be Sam's situation. Enrolling in Medicare Part B the correct way, when you or your spouse is working full-time and you have company benefits, is so important. You want not only to avoid a Medicare Part B penalty, you also want to be able to enroll and be accepted by any Medicare supplement / Medigap plan by avoiding medical underwriting. Normally, because Sam enrolled in Medicare Part B when he turned 65 over 5 years ago, and he would, however, Medicare has special rules for employees or their spouses who are covered by an employer's group health insurance. Sam is lucky there is a Medicare supplement rule that allows him to avoid answering the underwriting questions. Since he is leaving your company benefits, Sam qualifies for the 63-day guaranteed issue period to apply for a Medicare supplement / Medigap plan without medical underwriting. He will need your company benefit plan termination letter to prove that he is a guaranteed issue period. With guaranteed issue, an insurance company must sell you a Medigap / Medicare supplement policy. You have the right to buy Medigap / Medicare supplement plan A, B, C, F, K, or L that is sold in your state by an insurance company. Sam is not eligible for Plan G with guaranteed issued plans since his Medicare Part A began prior to January 1st, 2020. Those that Medicare Part A begins after January 1st, 2020 are eligible for Plan G, not Plan F or C, for a guaranteed issue plan. Must cover all your pre-existing health conditions. Cannot charge you more for a Medigap / Medicare supplement policy, regardless of your past or present health problems. Sheila, I have great news for you. You are turning 65 in January and have a less stressful Medicare enrollment than Sam because you are in a Medicare supplement / Medigap open enrollment period. In the Medicare and You handbook, it states the best time to purchase a Medicare supplement / Medigap policy is during your Medigap open enrollment period. This six-month period begins on the first day of the month in which you are 65 or older and enrolled in Medicare Part B. Chapter 3 of Tony's Medicare Survival Guide, Advanced Edition, explains in depth what is a Medicare supplement and the rules of enrolling in a Medicare supplement / Medigap policy the proper way. Many Americans do not realize that enrolling in Medicare Part B is as valuable as gold and should be treated carefully. Take your time and explore your Medicare plan options. Remember to discuss your Medicare needs with your medical providers when exploring your Medicare plan options. Tony King is an author of Medicare Survival Guide, Advanced Edition, and columnist of Medicare Issues. For a Medicare checkup, email info@tonysays.com or call 832-519-8664 to have your Medicare question answered. You can now visit www.seniorresource.com/Medicare-moments to listen to her Medicare Moments podcast and get other information for boomers/seniors. Alzheimer's Association of West Texas presents 2022 Education Conference. Early detection of Alzheimer's disease is critical, and empowering oneself with the right information and resources is the first step towards living well with the diagnosis. The Alzheimer's Association West Texas hosting its education conference, What Don't I Know? Alzheimer's Lifestyle Research and More, from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., December 9th at the Tom Green County Library, located at 33 West Beauregard Avenue in San Angelo. Quote, just like the rest of our bodies, our brains change as we age, Janet Cross, program manager for the West Texas chapter, stated in the press release. Most of us eventually notice some slow thinking and occasional problems with remembering things. However, serious memory loss, confusion, and other major changes in the way our minds work may be a sign that brain cells are failing. This event will offer insight into the complexities of dementia treatments on the horizon and the importance of healthy living and movement. Feature presenters include Jessica Kaysen, Health Systems Manager for Humana Military, Erin Lane, Artistic Director of Ballet San Angelo, Jenny Funk, Director of Programs Research Champion Alzheimer's Association. The program will include many facets of dementia, latest research information, and the importance of healthy living and the importance of movement. The conference will close with a panel of local influencers discussing dementia care and the resources available in the San Angelo area. Free and open to the public, lunch will be provided and registration is encouraged. Register at bit.ly/ALZCONF12092. For more information, contact Cross at j_cross@ALZ.org or call 800-272-3900. Coca-Cola brings Photo Booth to United Supermarkets, Market Street, and Amigos. Beginning Sunday, Coca-Cola Southwest Beverages will bring a free holiday photo experience to guests of United Supermarkets, Market Street, and Amigos stores across Texas, a press release detailed. Coca-Cola brings Photo Booth to United Supermarkets, Market Streets, and Amigos. Beginning Sunday, Coca-Cola Southwest Beverages will bring a free holiday photo experience to guests of United Supermarkets, Market Streets, and Amigos stores across Texas, a press release detailed. The experience will allow guests to create a holiday photo moment inside a life-size snow globe. The Odessa and Midland United Supermarket locations will have their respective event on December 10th. The United Supermarket, which is located at 1002 Andrews Highway in Midland, will have its event from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., while the United Supermarket, located at 1350 East 8th Street, is set to have its from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. In addition to the photo, guests will also be treated to free samples of Coca-Cola products. This pop-up holiday photo experience is all a part of Coca-Cola's Holiday Magic campaign that reminds people that holidays are at their best when they are shared with family, friends, and neighbors. We are thrilled that our partners at Coca-Cola have selected some of our stores across Texas as sites for this holiday photo opportunity. Chris James, COO of the United Family, stated in the press release, We hope our guests will take full advantage of this opportunity to get in the holiday spirit while they shop in our stores over the next week.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, December 3rd, 2022. Dear Abby, woman will no longer accept relatives' abusive behavior. Dear Abby, I have a sister-in-law, Karen, no one in my husband's family likes. She's rude and insulting and acts like she is better than everyone else. She feels she's entitled to have family members watch her kids so she can do what she wants. If you refuse, she drops the kids off at the door. If anyone confronts her about her bad behavior, she claims she has anxiety and depression to make the person feel guilty. Now, I'm not saying she doesn't have these mental health issues, but I believe she uses them to manipulate others. My mother-in-law keeps saying we should turn the other cheek, but I no longer can, especially when it comes to her insults. I know many family members will side with her out of sympathy, but I can no longer sit back and accept her verbally abusing me and others with no consequences. I know I need a plan so I won't lose my temper and say something I'll regret, but I'm not sure how to respond in a respectful way. Any ideas? Doesn't like conflict in Kentucky. Dear Doesn't, do nothing without first warning your in-laws that you have reached your limit. The next time your sister-in-law is rude and insulting, say calmly, "I don't deserve to be spoken to that way. That's it for me. I'm leaving." Then do it. Your husband should back you up on this. And while you're at it, have him and his family determine whether Karen's kids are at risk and act accordingly. Dumping her children on someone's doorstep seems like child abandonment to me. Dear Abby, I tell myself every year that I will not do this again, but I do. My husband was married before and had one daughter, who now has two daughters of her own. She has always had the idea she was somehow deprived. I assure you, she was not. Her maternal grandparents thought she hung the moon and showered her with everything. When her mother remarried, she insisted that my husband allow her new husband to adopt her. Contact with my husband was reestablished when she became of age. I do my best to acknowledge holidays, birthdays, etc. for all of them. The problem for me is there is never any reciprocation, and I'm tired of it. We have a cordial relationship and see them frequently. It's as though she thinks we owe her something. I am the one who does everything. My husband couldn't care less. How can I end the cycle? To add to it, my own nephew is the same way. Nary a word of acknowledgement unless he is forced to. I guess my own feelings are the problem. I want to maintain cordial relationships, but I feel like it's a one-way street. At Odds in New York. Dear At Odds, your stepdaughter and your nephew are adults. I suggest you have a mature conversation with both of them and tell them how you feel, that you want to maintain a cordial relationship, but it seems like a one-way street. Then turn the other cheek one more time, and if they don't respond, end the cycle.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.